Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-ZTRIM. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here. Happy Monday. Did you have a good weekend? It's colder than a well digger's ass here in Atlanta. I'll tell you, Truth Seekers, man, we got up this morning, it was 26 degrees. Woo! John Bolton, how about that, huh? The next to bail out of this sinking ship that is the Bush crime family, escaped any Senate confirmation, nastiness, and stapler-throwing incidents. Wouldn't that have been something if he would have been hauled before a Senate committee? That's one of the reasons these people are bailing. One after another. How many resignations out of the rat-infested ship of state run by the Bush crime family? How many have there been in the past, since the election? 10? 12? Just all over the place, aren't they, huh? What's the matter? The cheese is no longer good on the good ship Bush? I'm sure Bolton left to spend more time with his family or his anger management counselor or something. I don't know. And the Rumsfeld memos that leaked? Might as well have called them the Murtha memos, right? The memos reveal a very different murderer from the one we know and love. This Rumsfeld warns against long occupation of Iraq. He's a closet pacifist? Who knew? Oh, and he wants to cut the number of U.S. Military bases. One of his suggestions is to cut it down from, 500 to 15 or something? We'll have it for you in a second. Oh, my God. And what's this? The fourth leak out of this group of cackling idiots in 10 days. Where's Karl Rove? When Rove was in control, this never... What's Rove doing? Sitting in the corner abusing himself? Well, where's Rove? Doesn't he usually manage or deliberately spin the news cycles? Or maybe it's no different now than it was last year or the year before that. Maybe now the media are responding. Maybe now the New York Times is publishing stuff rather than withholding it. Maybe now MSNBC is talking about things rather than avoiding the topic. Maybe now none of the crack White House reporters are interested in becoming an embedded news war dude. Well, all I know is we are, 22 days, 21 days from Christmas? Oh, yeah, 3 weeks from tonight. and I am just thoroughly pissed. I mean, I'm pissed. You know why? Because these guys seem to be getting away. They're getting away before the Democrats can start slapping subpoenas on members of the Bush crime family. Oh, well. All right, we're going to get to all this tonight, plus other cheerful stories. Let's start out with a real happy one. Do you have I'll Be Home for Christmas? Can I have that as background if you do have it? Do you have okay. Okay, let it play for a second. Do. Is that it? Okay. Christmas Eve will find me. This has always been one of my favorite songs. It's so melancholy. Such a sad song. I prefer sad songs, don't you? Unless it's something happy. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, right before Showtime, Mike in St. Paul sent me a link to an MSNBC article. Dozens of children cashed in their equivalent of a golden ticket on Monday. A greeting from the president and a private showing of Willy Wonka at the White House. In a yearly tradition, President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush welcomed their young guests to the East Room for a holiday performance. The kids all come from military families, and the president had a message for them. Now picture this, if you can, without losing your dinner. Bush has a room full of little kids there. And here's what he said to him. We wanted to welcome you here at White House to, first of all, thank you for your strength. And so that you do me a favor, I want you to send an email to your parents overseas and say how much your commander-in-chief respects them, admires them, and supports them. Okay? Well, you little kids, you want to watch Willy Wonka now, huh? Your daddy and mommy may die because I lied them into a war, but you want to watch Willy Wonka? Your daddy may come home with his legs off. Your mommy may come home blind, but you send him an email. Send your mommy and daddy. Do you know how to? Can you say email? Send your mommy and daddy email. Bush and his wife sat with the children for an abbreviated performance of Willy Wonka. The president seemed to enjoy the music, often tapping his feet and nodding along. When he went on stage to thank the performers after the show, the children headed the other way, following Santa Claus out of the room. It's just, I don't know, this guy is a vampire. He's a monster. Just an absolute monster. To have these kids in a room like this and say, thank you for your strength. Send your mommy and daddy an email. Tell them how much the commander-in-chief respects them. Oh, and don't worry, kiddies. No, I'm not bringing your mommy or daddy home. Ever. That's such a sad song. Did you get all verklempt listening to that, in that little story? Some good news. General Augusto Pinochet, whose 17-year-long dictatorship of Chile resulted in thousands of political killings, torture, illegal jailings. He suffered a massive heart attack Sunday, and he's in a hospital, and they brought in a priest, yeah, he's a good Catholic, to administer last rites 8 days earlier. That would be Saturday week ago. The 91-year-old former strongman took full responsibility for the actions of his 17-year-long reign of terror after long insisting that any abuses were the fault of his subordinates. Well, see, when you're a Catholic butchering dictator SOB, oh, say it, son of a bitch, when you are a murderer, when you are good friends with Henry Kissinger. You know, Kissinger is the one who made sure that Pinochet got into office. But be that as it may, when you finally realize you are about to die, lights out, end of the road, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, when you realize that's about to happen, and you have on your conscience, or your hands, or your business suit, the blood of no one knows how many thousands of innocent people, because you're a dictator, because you're a liar, because you're a killer, all of a sudden, hell in your belief system is yawning wide, and you can hear Satan. Come here, baby. Well, then you take responsibility, because remember the thief on the cross with Jesus. It doesn't make any difference what you do. Murder, slaughter, devour, rip to pieces, shred, destroy, uglify. But if at the last minute you can say, oops, sorry, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? Oh, good. Bye. Heaven waits for you.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?
I thank you very much for supporting your mom and dad as they're on a very important mission for our country. I want you to know that they love you dearly, and the American people love and respect those who wear our uniform a lot. I know it's tough to have your mom or dad overseas, and we wish you all the best, but it's really important work. And so we wanted to welcome you here to the White House to, first of all, thank you for your strength, and so that you would do me a favor and email your mom or dad who is overseas how much the Commander-in-Chief respects them, admires them, and supports them.
That's cold. That is cold. What happens when these children get a little bit older and realize that this murderous bastard sitting there trying to play Uncle Chuckles and for them lied their parents into a war? What happens? Or perhaps some of the kids in that room, are there some 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds who are certainly at or approaching or just beyond the age of reason, and they know damn good and well why their parents are there? My God.
Billy and Susie, what would you like for Christmas? Would you like a puppy dog? Would you like a toy soldier? You want Mommy and Daddy home? Here, watch Willy Wonka. That'll make it all better.
It's cold. Building on something we talked about last week, about the PlayStation 3 debut and people standing online and crushing each other to get one. There was robberies. This is from Wilmington, North Carolina. A teenager there accused of robbing a student of two new PlayStation 3s on the day that the game consoles were introduced. That student was shot to death today by police who were sent to arrest him. He was 18. He was killed Friday at a house he shared with three roommates, the sheriff in the county said. The sheriff said, if this boy would have come to the door, opened the door, we probably wouldn't be talking about him being killed. One of his roommates was unarmed. I'm sorry, one of his roommates said that the 18-year-old was unarmed, but he may have been holding a video game controller when he went to the door, as it was bashed in by police officers. Bashed in by police officers. They're going there to check out the theft. They knocked a kid down, took his game station, or PlayStation 3. So the cops show up. Authorities and bashed the door in. Authorities promised today to fully investigate the fatal shooting. The district attorney said the following: no one is above the law and no one is beneath its protection, whatever the hell that means. Obviously, some people are, you dumb district attorney. Arrest warrants allege this 18-year-old, who was a student at Cape Fear Community College, and another kid, a University of North Carolina, UNC Wilmington student, stole two PlayStation units from a third UNC Wilmington student that day. The sheriff said the robbery victim had waited 3 days online to buy two PlayStation 3 units for $641 each at a Walmart. He was unloading the two PlayStation 3 units at his campus apartment when one man knocked him to the ground and another man took the PlayStations. Now, that would be the 18-year-old and the 17-year-old. The sheriff said the now-dead 18-year-old was shot by members of a special police unit who went to help university officers serve warrants. He would not say, the sheriff wouldn't, why the special team was assisting campus police. Oh, and the now-dead 18-year-old, his German Shepherd, was also shot to death. A second man named in the same warrants was arrested at another address and was released on bail. Bashed in the door. All right, I don't know. Is
Billy?
No, don't
start
that again.
Would you like a PlayStation for Christmas? You want Mommy and Daddy home?
Stop.
I'm sorry, Billy.
Stop.
They're out billing permanent military bases for me.
Stop. All right, I asked for a favor last week, and a couple of you responded. I'll share that with you when we come back. Oh, I'm just so cheerful right now. I feel like opening a vein. If we're not back after the break, start without us, all right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio.
I know there's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
It's about 25 before the hour. Frank Rich's column in yesterday's New York Times has he started talking to the walls. Man, did you read it? If you didn't read it, go online and read it now. Rich is such a good writer. Let me just give you the lead to it. He starts out by saying, it turns out we've been reading the wrong Bob Woodward book to understand what's going on with President Bush. The text we should be consulting instead is The Final Days, the Woodward Bernstein account of Richard Nixon talking to the portraits on the White House walls while Watergate demolished his presidency. As Mr. Bush has ricocheted from Vietnam to Latvia to Jordan in recent weeks, we've witnessed the troubling behavior of a president who isn't merely in a state of denial, but is completely untethered from reality. It's not that he can't handle the truth about Iraq. He doesn't know what the truth is. The most startling example was his insistence that Al-Qaeda is primarily responsible for the country's spiraling violence. Only a week before Mr. Bush said this, the American military spokesman on the scene, Major General William Caldwell, called Al-Qaeda, quote, extremely disorganized, end quote, in Iraq, adding that, quote, I would question at this point how effective they are at all at the state level, end quote. Military intelligence estimates that Al-Qaeda makes up only 2% to 3% of the enemy forces in Iraq, according to Jim Mikleshevsky of NBC News. The bottom line? America has a commander-in-chief who can't even identify some 97% to 98% of the combatants in a war that has gone on longer than our involvement in World War II. And it gets better, if that's the right adjective, from there. Read Rich's column as he started talking to the walls. I mentioned last week... About websites that I really thought were cool, and there's so many. Oh my God, they just go on forever. I mentioned a new one, candorcandy.vox.com, C-A-N-D-O-R, candor, candy, C-A-N-D-Y, .vox.com. And another one, one of my favorites, fairywoodland.com, and said, you know, if you have a favorite website, let me know. It's, you know, it's got to have something that's unique about it. I mean, there's all kind of, I think on our at our website we list probably what, Kathy, 75 or 80 websites. But anyway, those two, fairywoodland.com and this candorcandy.vox.com, I thought were kind of cool. What I mentioned last week comes this. A couple more. Helen and Harry want you to check out unknownnews.org. Now, I went there earlier tonight, unknownnews.org, and it's excellent, excellent website. Check it out. Helen or Harry, one of them wrote, I heard you asking for recommended websites on Friday, else I'd never send ours. We work our butts off on it, but I simply abhor doing self-promotion. But since you asked, unknownnews.org, from Helen and Harry. No, I understand that. Every time somebody calls this program and says, hey, we really like you, we love you, yada, yada, that's very uncomfortable. Some of us, we just, I understand the intention, but it just, I guess I'm like Helen and Harry. It's just like, yeah, okay. And here's another one. Lauren sent this to me. It's a local mosaic artist, local to where, Canada. And Lauren sent this in. The site is oddlyenoughmosaics.com. Oddlyenoughmosaics.com. And I went to that website over the weekend. It's good. It's gorgeous stuff. Oh my God. Oddlyenoughmosaics.com. So check them out. Fairywoodland.com, oddlyenoughmosaics.com. What was the other one? Candorcandy.vox.com. And of course, unknownnews.org. All right? Get busy, you little beavers. Write it all down. Those are great websites. I get overwhelmed with good websites. I know there are a million of them out there, but I really like those four. Check them out. Max Cleland, triple amputee in Vietnam, says the national commander of the American Legion, who, by the way, never served in Vietnam, but describes himself as a Vietnam veteran. How about that? And this has Max Cleland highly pissed, as well he should be. Paul Morin, M-O-R-I-N, of Chicopee, Massachusetts, who was elected last August to a one-year term as commander of the nation's largest veterans organization, spent his time in the Army from 1972 to 1974 at Fort Dix, New Jersey. but he calls himself a Vietnam veteran. The Boston Globe said, reported that, and a spokesman for the American Legion defended this thug, saying any current service member stationed in the United States could claim to be an Iraq war veteran. Well, see, that's not true. Well, where do these people get this? I mean, people with any honor say, I was in the military, if they were in the military during the Vietnam War and didn't go to Vietnam, I was in the military during the Vietnam era. You don't call yourself a Vietnam veteran. Max Cleland, former Senator Max Cleland of Georgia, said Mr. Morin, whatever, the new head of the American Legion, his claim could undercut the credibility of veterans groups. Cleland said, for the national commander of the American Legion, who never even served in the Vietnam theater, to call himself a Vietnam veteran is a lie. Of course it is. Of course it is. I have deep and abiding contempt, and I would like to just slap their faces of people who either pad their real military career or lie about it to begin with. To me, they're the worst kind of sneak. And this is according to one of the writers of Daily Kos. He attended a party. And this comes to us from Simon in the UK. He attended a party for volunteers who worked on the Jim Webb campaign. And Representative Jim Moran, a Democrat from Virginia, confirmed what has been speculated on the Internet, that before the incident between Bush and Webb, you know, that little nastiness, before that incident, Bush was specifically briefed about the fact that Webb's son had come under attack in Iraq the week before and three Marines had died in that attack. His advisors, Bush, this cowardly little bastard, his advisors had even warned him to be, quote, extra sensitive, end quote, when speaking to Webb. And then Bush steps up and said, how's your son? Well, he wants to come home. That's not what I asked you. What I asked you is, how's your son? And Simon writes, when I read something like this, I begin to wonder if Webb made the right choice in not swinging for this callous bastard. Yeah, that Bush is such a typical bully, isn't he? Just and it's incredible the position of power he's in. To do something like that, to walk up to a man who was himself a veteran, who served as Secretary of the Navy in the Reagan administration, for Bush, this little weasel, this little cowardly thug, to walk up to Jim Webb, knowing, having been briefed, that the man's son had survived an attack that killed three other Marines, and to get snotty with Jim Webb. Now you know the real story. Now, and I'm sure Webb knew that Bush had been briefed. What a nasty, hateful little man. Bush. Oh, God. It's just hard. I don't understand how America's Christians think that George Bush is such a godly man. I don't understand how America's conservatives think that he deserves anything other than utter, just screaming contempt. I don't understand why people don't say, well, all right, Malloy, you apologize about calling him names. You ought to just go over the top with this guy. He's leading this country into a just, where's he taking America? Right into the toilet, this delusional little freak. He's delusional on a macro basis, on a micro basis, like 101. He's just hateful and mean. Ah! Oh, my God. Okay, I want you to send an email to your mommy and daddy. Hurry up, because they may be dead by the time they get it, you know, it gets their unit. And tell them that the commander-in-chief, that's me. See, I'm the commander-in-chief. Tell them I said thanks for being over there at Christmas. And if they have to leave a leg or an arm there, it's all right. We really appreciate it. Get to begin, but
1-800-908-PEST.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Where were we? Mirtha Rumsfeld. Yeah, if you saw it in the New York Times on Sunday, was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday. The memorandum that Rumsfeld wrote to the moron in the White House, or to somebody, I don't know who he sent it to. It was sent one day before the midterm congressional elections and 2 days before Rumsfeld cut and run. You can find it, but he says, in my view, it is time for a major adjustment. Clearly, what U.S. forces are currently doing in Iraq is not working well enough or fast enough. Following is a range of options. And then he lists illustrative options above the line and below the line. Above the line are the ones he would recommend. One of them is conduct an accelerated drawdown of U.S. bases. We have already reduced from 110 to 55. Plan to get down to 10 to 15 bases by April 2007 and to 5 bases by July 2007. Cut and run, huh? Withdraw U.S. forces from vulnerable positions, cities, patrolling, etc. Let me pause for a second. This is urban warfare, not our people. Our people are trying to stay alive. This is urban warfare, a civil war, a country that is literally, you're watching what happens when a state collapses into chaos. Where else are our people other than in the cities or patrolling? Nowhere. So this evil bastard writes, withdraw U.S. forces from vulnerable positions, cities, patrolling. Incredible. And move U.S. forces to a quick reaction force status, operating from within Iraq and Kuwait, to be available when Iraqi security forces need assistance. Oh, please. So, is this a redeployment, you evil monster? See, when Mirtha said, anytime anyone in the Democratic Party has suggested precisely what this vampire is suggesting, not only did the Bush crime family and these filthy Republicans in Congress jump all over that Democratic lawmaker, but so did the little rats who infest talk radio. Dennis Prager and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the rest of these beasts. But here's Rumsfeld. Next, begin modest withdrawals of U.S. and coalition forces. Sounds like cut and run. Cut and run, cut and run, cut and run, red rum, cut and run, red rum, cut and run. I like this one. Provide money to key political and religious leaders as Saddam Hussein did to get them to help us through this difficult period. Difficult period? And I love this one. Initiate a massive program for unemployed youth. It would have to be run by U.S. forces since no other organization could do it. I'll be a son of a bitch. This guy orders this invasion that totally, totally destroys the infrastructure of this sad, beaten down country. Destroys everything. And then has the absolute audacity to say that a program for unemployed youth would have to be run by U.S. forces since no other organization could do it. No other organization can do it, Rumsfeld, because they have all been utterly, absolutely, and totally destroyed by you, you vampire. Initiate a massive program for unemployed youth. Doing what? Doing what? Security work? Joining the army? And then, here's this one, recast the U.S. military mission and the U.S. goals and how we talk about them. Go minimalist. This is a United States Secretary of Defense talking slash writing. We have 140,000 troops in Iraq, and this evil bastard is saying, go minimalist, recast the U.S. military mission and the U.S. goals. Recast them? How do you do that? Every single goal that you, you filthy vampire, and Cheney and Bush said were the reasons we were going to war has already been recast. Weapons of mass destruction? Nope, nope, nope. Threat to his neighbors? Nope, nope, nope. What else, Kathy? What else was there? Liberate the people? Arrest the dictator, the tyrant? What did Pappy Bush call Saddam? The biggest threat to world peace since Adolf Hitler? And that was 14 years ago. Unbelievable. Go minimalist. Recast. Now, below the line, here are the less attractive options. There's only four or five. Move a large fraction of all U.S. forces into Baghdad and to attempt to control it. What? Aren't most... Oh, well. The next one? Increase brigade combat teams and U.S. forces in Iraq substantially. Set a firm withdrawal date to leave. Declare that with Saddam gone and Iraq a sovereign nation, the Iraqi people can govern themselves. Who suggested about Vietnam in 1968, declare ourselves the victors and leave? Assist in accelerating aggressive federalism plan, moving toward three separate states, Sunni, Shia, and Kurd, and I love the last one, try a Dayton-like process, like what was used to solve the wars in Middle Europe in the 90s. Unbelievable. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. So, Rumsfeld, who I don't know who he was writing this memo to. Bush doesn't read stuff. To Hadley, maybe. To Rove, maybe. To Cheney, maybe. Or maybe Rumsfeld was just writing something to have it on the record to cover his ass later when he's charged with war crimes and arrest warrants are issued around the world for him. I don't know. But the idea of getting out of Iraq is a good idea. I don't care who it comes from. If it came from the snake in the Oval Office, it would still be a good idea. But the fact that it comes from Rumsfeld at the very time when the official stance of the Bush crime family was anyone who talks about getting out is their term, cutting and running. This is where the slimy half-humans who operate within the Republican Party in the House and the Senate, this is where they make their bones, you see. When somebody like John Murtha or Nancy Pelosi or John Kerry or someone says, you know, maybe we ought to get out of there. Oh, cut and run! Cut and run! Cut and run! Cut and run! Where is that anvil chorus now? Where are you, filthy slime balls? This is Rumsfeld talking about cutting and running, right? Well, National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley was on Media Horn number one Tim Russert's program on Sunday. And Russert pointed out that Rumsfeld's memo suggested a strategy of withdrawal. And Russert asked Hadley why, when others had raised this idea in the past, quote, they were accused by your White House of cutting and running, end quote. Here's Hadley's answer. I think that maybe you misunderstand what the memo was about. The president, as you know, before that day had called for a review of where we were heading in our approach forward in Iraq. It drew on work that had been started in a number of agencies in the government, and one of the things that the president said is, I want to look at new ideas. I want to have an open door to ideas. And one thing that the Rumsfeld memo list represented was a laundry list of ideas that he considered. Some he put above the line and some were below the line. And it was to broaden the debate. It was a useful memo. This was not a game plan or an effort to set out the way forward in Iraq. Now, I have no idea what Russert said after that, and I really don't give a damn, because Russert turns my stomach, as do most of these Sunday talk show host freaks. But I'm sure however Russert responded, it was not stopping the conversation, so to speak, and saying, you know something, Stephen Hadley, you're a liar. You are a liar, and so is the guy you work for, and so are the people that work for you. You are all liars. No, Russert wouldn't do that. He's a suck-up to the power establishment in Washington, as most of these network people are. Hadley says, no, you're misunderstanding the memo. It has nothing to do with cut and run. Absolutely nothing to do. And where was Wolf Blitzer today? Did Blitzer say anything today about Rumsfeld's memo being cut and run? Huh? Anything? Anything? But when Murtha came out with this, that's all you heard. Blitzer and Russert and Stephanopoulos and the rest of these freaks, every time they could find a Republican senator or a House member, they would put the camera on him and say, what do you think of Murtha's statement? Well, it's cut and run. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And Murtha's not a policymaker. Rumsfeld is. So where are the right-wing freak chorus now? Where are you, evil little bastards, huh? Ah! And then Condoleezza Rice. Has anyone ever occupied the office of Secretary of State as useless as Condoleezza Rice? Anyone in the entire history of the United States, not just the past 50 years or past 100, but in the entire history, has there been a Secretary of State as worthless, useless as this person? No. Here's the latest. In an interview the other day on Al Arabiya TV, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was asked if the Bush administration has made any mistakes in Iraq. Here is Madam Secretary's response.
As to whether the United States has made mistakes, of course I'm sure we have. You can't be involved in something as big as the liberation of a country like Iraq and all that has happened since. And I'm sure there are things that we could have done differently. But frankly, we're looking ahead. And when I'm back at Stanford University, I can look back and write books about what we might have done differently. Oh, Jesus, don't scream, Mike. Don't scream, especially about that last sentence. And when I'm back at Stanford University, I can look back and write books about what we might have done differently. You evil, evil, evil. Why not? Son of a bitch. There are soldiers and Marines dying. There are Iraqi civilians
being blown into chunks of bloody meat. And you say when you're back at Stanford, you can look back and write books about what we might have done differently. I'm telling you, Truth Seekers, the restraint that I display on this program is remarkable even to me. It truly is. Well, Condoleezza Rice is saying this. George W. Bush and his wife are telling the children of people who are in a combat zone for no reason other than Bush's incredible insanity. He's telling the children he appreciates their strength. A child. Now, I don't know, nor do you, nor does anybody, how many of those children that were with Laura and George Bush today are going to be told sometime in the immediate future, your father is dead. Or, your mother is dead. I don't know. But I do know that some of them will. But when Condoleezza Rice is back at Stanford University, she can look back and write books about what we might have done differently. Oh my God. Now, how do the military families who may be aware of this interview on Al Arabiya television, how do they cope with Condoleezza Rice saying, oh yeah, we've made a lot of mistakes. When I'm back at Stanford University, I'll write about them. In the meantime, more dead, more arms blown off, more heads blown to pieces. I want more death. I'm like Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney. I want blood washing up against the insides of my soul. I want blood and brain tissue. I want broken bodies and bones. I want skin flayed. I want the stench of death in my nose. I want to see bodies on fire, arms and legs flying through the air from car explosions. I want all of this. And when I am back at Stanford, I will write about it. I will write about it! I can't get my mind around that. I swear to God, I can't. I can't. I can't. Can you? Can you, Truth Seeker? Can you handle this? Even in the past, when we've had murderous sons of bitches in the Oval Office sending our people to God knows where to die for corporate America, they didn't make these kinds of statements publicly. And yet this gang does. If this is not insanity, what is?
One.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on 1480 KPHX.
It's real, but it ain't exactly
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy. Sort of from the sirens night
and day. 21 past the hour. Let's, you want to do some phone calls? I've got some more, especially about this Gates, Robert Gates. But let's do some phone calls here. The number is 800-989-9368. 1480. One more website here. And I haven't forgotten Angie, pbsblog.com. I mentioned that, six months ago. And she just sent me an email and said to mention that site. PBS blog, it has nothing to do with public broadcast service, but it's pbsblog.com. It's now got 130 movies, a new listing of internet radio stations, the next day or two a brand new listing of movies by subject. So check it out, pbsblog.com. That's another one. Oh, and let's see, one more. This one came in too. One more. And I've been to PBS Blog, and I've been to these other ones, and I just went to AmericanFilms.com. AmericanFilms.com. Like I said, I just went there during the break, and it's there's more stuff there than you could, especially the links, forget about. That's a site you go to and spend 6 months. All right, pbsblog.com and americanfilms.com. These sites are great. It's the creativity, the work, the energy that goes into these sites is just stunning. Okay, some phone calls. Let's start with Sarge, who is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Sarge.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. By the way, before I get started, let me tell you, a friend of ours, Victor Lopez,
yes,
said when I talked to you to tell you hello for him.
Well, tell him hello back.
I sure will. He's feeling pretty optimistic. He thinks there's a good chance he might be getting out within a year.
That's good. Well, a lot of people know that we have his address at my website, right, Kathy? Victor is a young man who is in prison in Puerto Rico, who has been writing to me for over a year now, and then Sarge got him working as writing at powersandmorrison.com, and this young man has got quite a story, and I'm glad that Sarge and I and a bunch of other people have stayed in touch with him and given him a reason to hang in there until he gets out of prison. He's not trying to cop a plea. He admits what he did, check fraud and some other things, but he was facing some really, really, really hard time and found a way to cope with it, I guess, Sarge. I mean, you don't ever cope with...
He's remarkable. Because I've talked with him, and you wouldn't know where he was when you talk with him, because he's got such a effervescent personality.
He does. He's called us a couple of times in the studio, where you know he's only got maybe 3 minutes, and it's a collect call, and he tries to get it all in, but unless you were familiar with that sound, and I've had people call me from prison before. That kind of clanky, hollow, institutional sound that really, you know, sends a chill up and down your spine when you're not in prison. You'd never guess where he was calling from. But anyway.
He will be writing for my site, too, unreportednews.net. But right now we've got it kind of in a reconstruction thing, so we're not really plugging it right now. But
okay. Once you get that up and running, let me know, and we'll push that site, too.
You were talking about Bush and what he did with Webb. You know, that's about the tackiest thing I've ever heard of. That's like walking. Well, she should have been wearing her seatbelt.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God.
And that's just how insensitive this pile of garbage is, you know?
Why
should we be surprised, Mike? I mean, look what he did after Katrina. He went and ate birthday cake, man, while people were drowning.
Hey, when I remember when he was standing down there at the church in New Orleans on Jackson Square, has he fulfilled any of those promises yet? I remember when Cheney came to the Mississippi coast and somebody told Cheney, some doctor said to go F yourself, go fox yourself. Did they ever make good on their promises?
No. In fact, Bay St. Louis is still without a grocery store.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Sarge. Let me do this break, then I'll come back and we'll finish up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.
You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. We're talking with Sarge, who's called in from Mississippi. We're talking about Bush and the promises for the whole Mississippi Gulf Coast that... You know, I still, Sarge, have a hard time believing that very little has changed down there. Y'all are still struggling. The struggle is just going to go on and on and on, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I tell you, I was talking to a man who maybe sometime you might want to have him on as a guest. His name is Jim Yancey. He's the Jackson County Community Coalition Director. And he is doing remarkable work, but he only has like four people that's working for him. And this raggedy-ass governor we got just recently gave a grant out, and Jim had put in for it for his organization, and one of Barbara's crony organizations got the money, and probably less than half of it will turn up going in use for the mental health needs of the county.
That's Haley Barbour, the governor.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because, see, you remember the four-year-old girl that tried to commit suicide?
Yes.
All right. I found out that just only a few weeks ago, they finally got her a permanent counselor. All this time, Mike, and she's been without a counselor. And Jim Yancey's the one that got her help. And he has helped more people. And his coalition, and there's only four of them that works for him, and they work 24/7. And then he gives this grant to this thug bunch who has already been known to rip off FEMA. And it's just one thing after the other. It never will get better. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi said they're going to do investigations, then I welcome them, and I hope she does. But if something doesn't happen, what's going to happen is you're going to have death, 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 and more death on the Mississippi coast, on the Louisiana coast. Mm-hmm. It is atrocious, Mike.
I don't know what to say, Sarge. I'm hoping that the Democrats will take care of what should have been taken care of on the Gulf Coast a year ago. Immediately.
Well, what your listeners can do if they want to, and I will try and get up a link to it at least on my site. But Jim has a website. It's the Jackson County Citizens Coalition. You'll have to Google it because I don't know it right offhand. But if people will Google that and go to it, there's a place to make donations. Jim could use it because he is working his tail off, and if you mind giving him some airtime, I'd love that too, because this guy has really tried to make a difference, and he's getting really discouraged. And
what's his site again, Sarge?
It's the Jackson County Citizens Coalition.
Okay, that's people have to find the link. Jackson County Citizens Coalition.
Right, I think it's the JC.
Oh, that's right. Let people look it up so they get it right. Jackson County Citizens Coalition.
Right. But he really needs it. He's done a lot of good work.
Well, let's see what happens. Let's see if people will respond.
All righty. And I thank you for giving me this time because the people really need it.
Sarge, I, if there was any way I could do it, I would saddle up with you and we'd go to D.C. And we get a couple $1 billion and take it back and start handing it out to people to fix their homes.
Well, you know, a lot of liberal broadcasters have been a lot of help to me, like Mark Levine from Head On Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a lot of help. He's helping me set up some meetings, too. So the liberal broadcast, Dr. Mike Newcomb, he's going to have Jim on if he can this week maybe. So the liberal community's doing their part. It's just these damn conservatives that's not.
I hear you. Send me a way to get in touch with him. Maybe we'll book him on this program too.
All righty. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Sarge. Take it easy. Take care. I don't know how I don't know how to respond to that. We've been talking with Sarge since after Hurricane Katrina struck. Shortly after, he called, and he lives in that area. And some of the stuff that he has told us via telephone, via email, via this program, is just astonishing. See, you and I. And I'm probably more guilty of this than you are, if guilt is the right word. We set it aside. We're not thinking about Mississippi Gulf Coast or the U.S. Gulf Coast. We just don't think about it. New Orleans doesn't exist anymore. Are you aware that New Orleans doesn't exist? It really doesn't. It's gone. It's gone. Have you ever gone to New Orleans? I've been there maybe 8 times. Been there for the Jazz Festival, been there for Mardi Gras, been there just for the hell of it. It's gone. New Orleans, it's gone. There's something there, but it's not New Orleans. And as far as Mississippi is concerned, oh, dear God, I haven't been to the Mississippi coast, but every once in a while, one of the cable channels will have the latest video report on what has happened on the U.S. Gulf Coast in... what's it been now? 16 months? Can you believe it? People are still living in rat and roach infested lean-tos, trailers that are falling apart. There's little FEMA it's just, but we ignore it. See, I ignore it all the time. I don't think about it. I think a lot about the situation in Iraq. I think a lot about the Democrats taking over the Congress. Are things going to improve? Or are the Democrats going to slip into the abyss just like the Republicans have? But where it concerns the Gulf Coast of the United States of America, I don't think about it. I don't think about it at all. Until every once in a while, Sarge calls. And as soon as I see his name on the screen, then all of a sudden it's, oh, click. That's right. The U.S. Gulf Coast. Still in shambles. Still just coming apart at the seams. And as he's pointed out, as people who are a hell of a lot smarter than Sarge and me have pointed out, the sociologists and the psychologists and the people who work with people in disaster areas like this, people who suffer from PTSD, people who are working with children. You know, we bleed and scream and ache and retch about the children in Iraq, and well, we should. But the children in the Gulf Coast of the United States, they're not being blown up by car bombs, but oh my God. But we don't think about it. I never think about the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Until Sarge calls. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Leonard, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Malloy. I was out running and I'm thanking God, even though I know you have different views on that, but I'm thanking God because, you know, when I hear you speaking over the radio, speaking the truth to power, you know, it's like sometimes I feel like, you know, we have Dr. Newcomb and Jeff down here in Phoenix and other people, but sometimes it feels like, you know, there's nobody else out there, you know, that can see the madness, that can see the great wrong that's being done here. And, God, I just want to thank you for doing what's right, because, you know, and I hear Sarge, you know, when I was in Iraq, I was with most of the largest contingent of Louisiana National Guardsmen. We mobilized in Louisiana before the hurricane, ironically, had a chance to go to New Orleans. I didn't take it. I wish I had. I didn't know it would be, you know, the old New Orleans would be gone. But I had to sit there and watch the video coming in and sit side by side with Louisiana National Guardsmen in the mess hall there. And, you know, I saw a picture, I guess it was on the front page of the Economist magazine, and it says The Shaming of America.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an African-American lady. She's crying amidst all of the disaster. I looked at the Time magazine, bodies floating face down in the water in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so freaking angry. I can't tell you. We were dying there. And to feel the helpless frustration, it's like you can do nothing about it. You, here you are, thousands of miles away from your countrymen, watching this great disaster while this your producer said to be careful, while this SOB, this disgrace.
It's awful. I can only. How long were you in Iraq?
Well, my unit, the 860th Military Police Company, arrived roughly in March. We first got to Kuwait, went into Iraq. I had to come home because my father was dying, and he passed away for a couple weeks. I went back and basically had to witness. Had to witness a lot of stuff that, and we were in the Baghdad area, and to see firsthand, you know, I just can't tell you how thankful I am to you, but I feel so angry because, you know, I'm holding down my teaching job. I've got a little daughter here, mildly autistic, but I feel like I should just frickin' just drop everything and frickin' just go protest, but it's like I have no money to pay my bills. I'm not doing enough, and I'm so damned angry. I hear you out there. I just want to thank you because I know right now those soldiers are driving out there for this damned liar and these conservatives like John Kyle and Senator McCain, who says send more troops, even though he won't go for a draft. It'll have to be the same people. These SOBs making money off the blood of our American soldiers. These Iraqis, I got to tell you, Mike, I watched personally how the people in charge of these Iraqi police stations, these government officials, millions of dollars are missing, and it was going right into their pockets, right to their Swiss bank accounts. They're laughing all the way to the bank while their own people suffer. So, Bush, if you can hear this, you're a disgusting pile of crap because your American soldiers are dying. You're not my commander-in-chief. Bush was a false president, a false king, and he's a false prophet. So you 20% of the people out there that support him, I don't know how the hell you can stand by this son of a gun. Anyways, I thank you, Mike. Just keep it up and protect yourself because these son of a guns will do anything to try to shut you up and shut people up that are telling the truth. But as long as our soldiers are over there, we need to do what the hell it takes. We need to do what the hell it takes. Those Democrats in office now, the people are demanding you put this son of a gun out of office now and all the rest of those rats in Congress who still support this. You've been given a mandate by the American people. Go take the son of a gun out. I don't care if it's by insanity, whatever it is. Thanks a lot, Doc. I mean, Mr. Mike. Mike.
All right.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you checking in.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for checking in, pal.
You're listening
or go to ArizonaRebateRealty.com.
I know there's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
I don't know what to say after a call like Leonard's. I really don't. This is a man who has been there. I'm sure some weaselly right-winger would... who's never put on the uniform of the United States military. Not that that is a particular qualifier, but it certainly means a hell of a lot more when you are criticizing America's role in a war, if you've worn the uniform, then if you haven't, but after a call like Leonard, if you're still listening, I understand your, I only mean I understand intellectually. I cannot connect to the visceral elements of what you're going through. I go through my own hell sometimes about this thug and about this hideous administration and the poison that it's pumped into the society. But I can certainly understand just from the passion in your voice what you're talking about. As far as you're not doing enough, I think you are, because your consciousness is, I'm not trying to get weird on you here, but your consciousness is where it should be. And I think, and so is mine, and so are millions of us. Not that I believe that the power of a collective thought can do a damn thing, but it's still something, isn't it? I believe it is. Nah, I'm not going to take this thug. No, tell Harry to go away. I just don't feel like it tonight. I don't feel like taking this flying monkey from New York. So, Ian, if you just tell him to go away. Especially after talking with somebody like Leonard, who has put his life on the line. I don't want to talk to some punk like this Harry guy. Screw him. Get him out of here. I'm just not interested. Anyway, Leonard, hang in there and stay in touch with us and stay in touch with Mike. Just keep talking. That's all Mike and I are doing. Dr. Mike. That's all we're doing. We're doing the same thing you are. I hope you understand that. Talking. Keeping the narrative going. Just keeping it going. Until the people who really do have power. Because Mike Newcomb has zero power. Mike Malloy has less than zero. But we talk. And we keep the dialogue, and we refuse to roll over and shut up, just like you. So you're doing the same thing. But, you know, Leonard, when you say, Dr. Mike does this, and Malloy, you do that, and, you know, yada, yada, so are you. You're doing the same thing. Just keep doing it, okay? That's all. Just keep doing it. Just keep talking. Talk to us. Talk to your friends. Just keep talking. That's all you have to do, Leonard. Now, this website that Sarge was trying to find, and he said he couldn't get it by Googling it, so he went back to an old article and found it. Please write this down. Please go check it out. We're going to get this guy on this week. I just sent an email over here to Kathy to book him. The website, this is all initials, JCCSC, JCCS like Sam, JCCSC.org. That's the Jackson County Citizens Coalition, people who are trying to survive on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So you don't have to do anything. Just check it out. You know, just like Dr. Mike and me and Leonard, you know, just talk about it. JCCSC.org. Still kind of reeling from Leonard's call. I'm sure what he saw in Iraq was just. So what did he say? Kathy had a 3-year-old. Yeah. Okay, back to your calls. Brian, this is going to be very quick. No, there's the music. Brian will come and get you after the break, all right? We have two open lines here. If you want to jump in, the number is 800-989-1480. 989-1480. I'm drinking Theraflu. That's the drink tonight. Theraflu. I think Molly has delivered another one of her famous viruses here to the Malloy household. So anyway, we'll see you on the other side of the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. Let's see, what am I looking for? Oh, I'm looking for this. All right, quickly here, I wanted to play for you Chuckle Nuts accepting the resignation of John Anger Management Bolton as UN ambassador. This is a guy that throws things and calls people names. Like I do, only the people he calls names, he calls them to their faces, and they're usually high-ranking people in other governments, so I don't know, or his employees. Now, that was the thing about Bolton. You know, he's another one of these bully bastards that if you confront him, he would probably collapse like wet tissue paper. Like Cheney, who did Cheney, was it Pat Leahy that Cheney said to go F yourself? Yeah, I mean, these guys are just, they're worse than useless, and they're in positions of such extraordinary power. Man. Here's Chuckle Nuts accepting John Bolton's resignation because even Chuckle Nuts can understand that Bolton has as much chance of being confirmed as UN ambassador as I do.
I received the
resignation
of Ambassador John Bolton.
Ah.
I accept it. I'm not happy about it.
Oh.
I think he deserved to be confirmed.
Oh.
And the reason why I think he deserved to be confirmed is because I know he did a fabulous job for the country.
Fabulous.
What a mission this administration.
Yeah.
You've been a stalwart defender of freedom.
Yeah.
And peace.
And peace.
You've been strong in your advocacy for human rights and human dignity.
Yeah.
You've done everything that can be expected for an ambassador. And I accept your letter.
Yeah, you were especially good in Central America. Thanks for that. You know, my old man was vice president then, and when that goddamn Hassenfuss got shot down and they found his phone number, my dad's phone number in his pocket, you stepped in for me, didn't you, John? Huh? How many people did you murder? From Cynthia. Hi, Mike. First, I absolutely love you for what you do. Keep it up. But otherwise, I think for at least some of us, it's not that we have forgotten New Orleans. We haven't. It's just that we write letters, make phone calls to our representatives and senators on that and so many other issues without effect. Nothing seems to change while the stinking criminal occupying the White House finds ever more ways to screw America. I'm so angry about it that I spend all my time trying not to have a stroke. As it stands, I now have chronic head pain around my right temple that curiously started in 2002. Anger makes it worse, and it can feel like someone is hitting my head with a hammer. I even had a brain MRI to try to diagnose it. The MRI came out clean, thankfully. No apparent pathology. The only thing that really helps is naproxen. That and trying to stay calm. I really think that this chronic head pain is a result of my anger over Bush and his criminal policies. I don't think I can hope for a cure to it as long as he's occupying the White House. Oh, I would sure love to see that rat bastard occupying a jail cell. Just throw away the key and let him rot there. As far as websites go, here's one Tom Hartman mentioned on his show this morning. iCurve.org. iCurve.org. It graphically shows how the richest among us are doing compared to everyone else. Merry Christmas, America. Okay, thanks, Cynthia. Yeah, head pain around your right temple, huh? I'm familiar with that. Don't worry, it's not a brain tumor. It's a brain aneurysm, at least to me. That's what I think it is. Yeah, I started getting that. And, if I don't exercise furiously, six times a week, an hour, some days hour and a half, if I don't do that, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't be able to. No, I hear you, Cynthia. If you're not exercising, you got to do it, especially now. Just like Leonard said, he was listening to the program, he was running. You've got to. I don't care how old you are. I don't care for anybody. I don't care if you're considered overweight. I don't care what your gender is. It doesn't make any difference. You've got to exercise. You've got to. And it's got to be cardio stuff. Rapid walking. You don't have to run. You don't have to be a runner. Swimming, walking. That's what I do. Just pound it out. Just pour it on. You got to do it. And the benefits, in addition to getting rid of that pounding pain in your right temple, what's my cholesterol down to? 130? 130?
Yeah, but that's the drugs.
Well, I take Lipitor, but I take Lipitor for more than just cholesterol.
You have lost weight.
Oh, it just, I'm telling you, I try to stay. You've got to stay. I don't, again, no matter your gender or your age or your level of proficiency when it comes to doing exercise, you got to do it. You've got to do it. Because we've got to stay alive. The fighters have got to stay alive here to run these bastards out of office, to see that they're tried and convicted and sentenced and jailed. I sound like Lucinda Bassett or somebody. Just a little bit here. If I got somebody, was somebody I was supposed to? Yeah, I was supposed to go back to Brian, I think. Wasn't it Brian? Yeah, it was Brian. Brian, thanks for your patience. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, Mike. Good evening. Nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
I've listened to Leonard call in from time to time on the Dr. Mike Newcomb program, and he's had some amazing calls and some amazing stories to tell about Iraq and the military and so forth.
Who Dr. Mike has?
Leonard.
Oh, Leonard the caller.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Dr. Mike Newcomb as well. He calls in from time to time to Dr. Mike Newcomb program.
Oh, good, good. Well, Leonard certainly he's got the power of truth behind his voice.
Right. I'm going to be pretty quick. I don't really have anything profound to say. I just wanted to call in to check in to say that I've listened to you for a couple of years now here in the Phoenix market and have slowly but surely become addicted to the program, and I've never called before, so I just kind of wanted to say, I really appreciate the program. I appreciate NovaM, all that Mike Newcomb has done. And I hope that once you guys go on satellite, that it, really works out well for you. And I just really appreciate everything you guys do. And I've just never called in to say that.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah, Mike is the CEO of this company, this brand new NovaM. And Shelley and Anita Drobny are back there in the behind the curtain. I love them. I love all three of them. I've never met Mike, not in person. We've had 1,000 phone calls. We'll meet eventually. Eventually we're going to get out to Phoenix. Maybe after the first year we're going to do a grand tour out there and just go to the affiliates. But between Mike Newcomb and Shelley and Anita Drobny, and what I think will be careful, sensible, business-like approach, not the insanity that Air America became, I think this network is going to go. And it's because of people like Mike and Shelley and Anita. So, yeah. All right, very quickly here. No, got to take a break right now. Okay, go ahead. Let's do a break. You know, Robert Gates, the former CIA director, his confirmation hearing to be Secretary of Defense is scheduled for tomorrow. And we'll have some sound for you from that tomorrow. I hope the Democrats, maybe the Democrats, knowing that they're going to be in power after the first of the year, I hope they bear down on this murderous bastard. Here's another one. Gates, who was involved in blood and viscera and gore up to his chin where it concerns Central America. This is another flat-out, literal liar/killer. And I hope the Democrats refuse. You know, the attitude right now is ABR, anybody but Rumsfeld. Not this guy. This guy has more blood on him than Rumsfeld, if you can believe that.
At your pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
Hey, listen, we've never been stayed, of course.
Past the hour, Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and was with the, he does that now, he's with the CIA for 41 years, serving as a senior analyst and a division chief, wrote a piece recently for the Baltimore Sun titled Wrong Man to Replace Rumsfeld. And just a couple of lines in here from that piece, Goodman writes, quote, two previous presidents, Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, nominated Gates for the position of Director of Central Intelligence. In 1987, Mr. Gates had to withdraw his name because a majority of Senate Intelligence Committee members did not believe his denials regarding prior knowledge of the Iran-Contra scandal. The independent counsel in the Iran-Contra investigation, Republican Lawrence Walsh, shared their disbelief. In 1991, 4 years later, Gates was confirmed after receiving more than 30 negative votes, far more than any other nominee to the position of CIA director had garnered over nearly six decades. Key senators were convinced in 1991 that Gates had a major role in the politicization of intelligence on the Soviet Union, Central America, and Southwest Asia. During his testimony, Gates, known for his outstanding memory, testified 33 times that he did not have any recollection of the facts of Iran-Contra. Wow. That's like Reagan said, 76 times after he was out of office when he was called to testify in, I believe it was a civil suit? I don't recall. I have no memory of that. I don't recall. No, I don't know. All right, back to your phone calls here. Pam is calling from Redmond, Washington. Hey, Pam.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
It's really great talking to you. I have been listening to you for a really long time, but this is the first time I've ever called. And,
well, welcome. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about something you mentioned earlier tonight, which was you were talking about the article, Has He Started Talking to the Walls?
Yes.
But,
yeah, Frank Rich wrote it.
Yeah, I read that too. And I was thinking, you know, I seriously do think that he is nuts. I mean, really, he is. And my kind of thought is, well, knowing that And having watched him, his insane ways he's speaking to people, and watching the responses of the and reading about them on the internet of other countries, I'm thinking, isn't there? We've got to find some mechanism somehow to get him out. I mean, there should be a mechanism in our government that you know, if the person loses it.
Well, there is an amendment. I'm not sure what the number is. It's obviously in the double digits, but it is the amendment to the Constitution that states how a president incapacitated physically can remain as president, but the power of the office passes to God help us, Cheney. It would be,
oh no,
the vice president.
What if he's nuts too?
This has happened in the past several times, maybe two or three, where a president was unable to function because of physical health, and other people stepped in. I'm trying to remember, was it Woodrow Wilson's wife, or was it Garfield's? No, Garfield was shot. There is a constitutional mechanism, but I don't think it says anything or has any provisions for mental disability or mental problems. And,
yes.
And I think that I don't think there's any doubt. I agree with you. I don't think there's any doubt. There's a book out, Bush on the Couch.
Yeah, I've read that.
And the man is clinically
insane.
Insane. and he's in this position of
of
power.
Yes.
I mean, he's not gibbering, bouncing off the walls insane. He is,
no,
but he is insane nonetheless.
Yeah, it's a cold, calculated, I mean, to me, he has no he's totally cut off from his feelings. I mean,
well, he's also totally, as Frank Rich wrote, and we all know this, he's cut off from reality.
Oh, yes. He's
just
delusional.
Nothing penetrates this man's skull.
Yeah.
No matter where he can sit with a room full of children, for God's sake, and say,
no.
You know, I appreciate your strength. These are children.
Oh, my God, I know.
Who talks to children like that?
Well, that's just it. I mean, I
tell
just
your mommy and daddy that the commander-in-chief is proud of them. I'm sorry. They're over there where they're probably going to die. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And does he think that children can't figure that out, that they don't know their parents are in a war zone?
I don't know what he thinks, but I agree with you. I was listening to you talk about that, and I just, well, whenever I watch him, I cringe, and I, you know, I wonder what the rest of the world is
thinking. I hear you.
Hey,
Pam, I got to leave it. There, here comes the break.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Yeah, several times. About 25 before the hour, it is the website that Tom Hartman mentioned, and I called it the I Curve. It's the L Curve, lcurve.org. Thanks to everybody who corrected that. I've never heard of it before, but it's the L Curve about income distribution. Check it out. And A.E. writes in, many of the incoming Democratic leaders have already said they expect Gates to be confirmed. And this is before the hearings have begun. Yeah, I know. I'm just hoping that that's not the case. Gates is, well, here's what Ray McGovern had to say about him. You know who McGovern is. He was the CIA analyst from 1963 to 1990. And Gates is branch chief in the early 70s. He now serves on the steering group of veteran intelligence professionals for sanity. McGovern wrote a piece published in today's Miami Herald titled A CIA Insider's Take on Gates, in which he states, quote, in January 1995, Howard Teicher, who served on President Reagan's National Security Council staff, submitted a sworn affidavit detailing the activities of Gates and his then-boss, CIA Director William Casey, in secretly providing arms to Iraq. This violated the Arms Export Control Act in two ways, ignoring the requirement to notify Congress and providing arms to a state designated as a sponsor of terrorism. It gets worse. To grease the skids for this dubious adventure, Gates ordered his more malleable subordinates at the CIA to cook up intelligence reports to provide some comfort to Reagan in acquiescing to these activities. A national intelligence estimate of May 1985 predicted Soviet inroads in Iran if the United States did not reach out to moderates within the Iranian leadership. In addition, Gates's analysts were pressed to publish several reports beginning in late 1995 as Hawk anti-aircraft missiles wended their way to Tehran, that Iranian-sponsored terrorism had dropped off substantially. There was no persuasive evidence to support that judgment. As part of my official duties at the time, I took steps to make Gates aware of this a month before he wrote in articles in the Washington Post, Foreign Affairs Magazine, and our professional journal, Studies in Intelligence, that, quote, no CIA publication asserted these things, end quote. I then tried in vain to get him to correct the record. Since this episode cast serious doubts on Gates' veracity, I felt a responsibility to bring it to the attention of the senators weighing Gates' nomination to become CIA director in 1991. On October 7, 1991, I swore in an affidavit laying out the facts and gave it to the Senate Intelligence Committee. I heard nothing. And this is interesting. David McMichael, who is a former analyst for the CIA and a member of the Steering Committee of Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, same organization as McGovern's on, he wrote an article called The Insider, Gates to the Pentagon, back on November 14th, in which he predicted the following, quote, the Democrats, of course, will demand and get something in return for the acquiescence on the Gates nomination. Most likely, the bone thrown to them will be John Bolton, current interim holder of the post of U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, end quote. And as you know, today Bolton resigned. So if Gates is confirmed by the Senate Intelligence Committee, which he will be because as it stands now, Republicans hold a majority of seats. But if Democrats on that committee vote to confirm this guy, that's your first indication that we're in trouble, that the Democratic leadership is playing fast and loose with us. So this testimony starts tomorrow. I don't know when the vote will be held. I guess they want to finish it up this week before they go home for Christmas. Now, they could be confirmed. Every Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee can vote no, and this guy would still be confirmed by the committee. It would then pass out for a full vote in the Senate, and that's where the Democrats, if they don't filibuster, if they don't stop this, then you and I, as normal, definable Democrats, will be handed our first indication that this Democratic Party leadership is not what they have tried to say they are. And I have a very bad feeling about this one. There's no excuse for it now. There are better people to head the Defense Department than this thug, this liar. And the Democrats on that Senate committee know it. The Democrats in the Senate itself know it. They know this thug's history. We'll have some sound on that tomorrow night, I'm sure. Back to your phone calls. Let me see here. John is calling from Las Vegas. John, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It's been a long time. Remember me? I'm the piano tuner. And
oh, yeah. Hey, John.
I sent you there ain't no relief from the commander-in-chief. I think those words are More than ever now.
Boy, you got that right.
I wanted to tell Sarge I got my check in the envelope already for Jackson County while I've been on hold. I got the address, so.
Well, that's very, very, very kind of you.
Well, it's the least I can do, and he's always, I'm always, you know, listening to him. And then Leonard tonight. Leonard, shout out to you. Keep talking, like Mike was saying. I talk to everybody every day. And in fact, I prefer to talk to people that still back these guys. And I want to get in debate, and they don't know anything as far as facts. But I wanted to point out two things tonight for you. And by the way, my dad he's 88 in Arizona. Loves you, man. He's listening every night too.
What's his name?
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah, Lee Neems. He's the biggest Mike Malloy fan. And
well, bless his heart. Hey, Lee. What's up? What's up? You are.
And my wife, when you were off the air, we were all going nuts. So.
Oh no.
But anyway, of course, I've already been nuts. But I wanted to point out two things. One is, if we didn't have modern medicine like we have today, just think what the death toll would be today in Iraq. I think people lose sight of the fact, you know, so many times I'll say it's less than 3,000, it's not that bad, you know. They like to downplay it, the people who backed the war.
The American death, right?
Right. And mm-hmm. if the modern medicine, did you see that, I think it was on HBO, how sometimes it's $1 million to save a soldier? They got to, you know, airlift them and...
No, I didn't see that, but that makes sense. It will cost, the cost would be that high. That's another thing that most of us have no knowledge of that Bush has forced us into, where we want to save the lives of these young people who have been so lied to and so sent into a situation where they're going to be maimed permanently or die. And the cost, as you're pointing out, the cost is just astronomical.
Well, that's the show I saw on some of the soldiers. It cost $1 million to save their lives. And my guess is without the modern medicine, it'd be up to 25,000 easily dead toll, which would be halfway to Vietnam right now.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to point out, too, if you notice how the media is shoving down presidential candidates down our throats, they keep giving us Rudy Giuliani, Hillary Clinton, people that I don't know anyone who wants them. It shows how the media is already trying to paint the election already, and they're ignoring Iraq, ignoring the Gulf Coast. And I don't care about the presidential election right now, and I'm sure you don't. But
no,
the
hell no. And this thing about Barack Obama, who is this guy?
Right.
He's been in the Senate for 2 years. I mean, he doesn't walk on water, you know. Let him be in government for 20 years and then talk to me about Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton, you're right. You're absolutely right.
They're shoving them down our throats.
I know.
And my thinking is, you know, we should be able to pick who we want. Like Dennis Kucinich, I would love to see him being the guy who raised. They never raise his name. Anybody that has any merit, they never raise.
No, of course not.
And the final thing I wanted to say, I'm reading the Frank Rich article, and this line here, maybe a timely slug would have woken him up when the Jim
he's talking
Webb
about
and Bush.
Punch. He's talking about a punch to the face.
Right. And
but you could take that either way.
Well, I think Jim Webb, God bless him, and I'm, by the way, an agnostic atheist born again. but Jim Webb, like I said, bless his heart, he didn't do it. But I think that line says it all. A timely slug would have woken him up. And by the way, if I was in a room with Kissinger, Cheney, any of these guys, they would be scared to death, and these cowards would be running for their lives. I'd be running after them. I know that I'd like to try to fly today to see if I'm on the no-fly list, because I'm a piano tuner musician, and I wonder if I'm a threat to this country, you know?
Oh, my God, yes. You're
yeah, I have an Alex Jones a bumper sticker on my Jeep now. It says 911 was an inside job. And I tell everybody that's what I believe with all my heart now, with all my heart. You look at what's going on. And, Leonard, I urge you to look at 911 before the war, man. You talk about the lies of Iraq. That 911, I call the nation. Do you know Alexander Coburn's? Did you see his saying that if you believe the 911?
I got 10 seconds here, John.
Oh, he says we're like believing in UFOs. And I call the nation.
I know. Coburn is not on the same page as you and me. John, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Thank you so much. We'll talk again. We'll talk again. I swear we will.
No. Mass destruction. Mass destruction.
2, 1.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff in Phoenix, who engineered the program and answered your calls. Ian's working the flying solo again tonight, huh? Holy cow. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, and the militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives the program. Catherine Bay is the executive producer. All kinds of fun and frivolity to be found at NovaMradio.com. Check it out. Rocky Mountain Mary reminds me that it is the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And Section 3 talks about whenever the president is, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, end quote. Yeah, that's very, very ambivalent. I think there should be some sort of clarification, maybe an amendment to that amendment that adds mental disabilities. Bush is obviously mad. Oh, and also, talking with John and having to bail out of the phone call so quickly prompts me to say that I do apologize sometimes when we're talking, you and I, and we're coming up on a break here, and we have to go, and I hate to do that. We don't take that many phone calls as a normal state of affairs on this program, and when we do get someone on the air, I want to hear what they have to say, as I'm sure you do. And I just hate the abruptness of cutting off like that. Of course, we could do what the right-wingers do, especially the pig man. He's the one who set the standard. They never say, thanks for your comments, or call again or whatever. It's just the pig man starts talking and fades the caller out and then hangs up. The person handling the call just hangs up. And I hate that. I can't do that. If you take the time and make the effort to call, except for that crazed right winger who called in tonight, I sometimes I'm just not in the mood for that garbage. And I don't think the listeners to this program are sometimes either. Jonathan is calling from Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
All right. I was wondering if you heard anything about the Padilla trial.
Yeah, I saw, was it in the Times, pictures of Padilla when he was taken out of his cell and taken for a root canal. Holy Christ, you'd think this guy had single-handedly blown up the trade towers.
Yeah, I didn't see the pictures. I just heard it on Democracy Now.
God, they deafen him. They put some sort of ear mitts on that has white sound in them or something, so he can hear nothing. They blank out his eyes with some sort of black goggles. It's just total sensory deprivation. And what I've heard now is that Padilla, they have driven Padilla to the point where he is unable to assist in his own defense. This is the American citizen who has been charged with nothing, who has done nothing. Now he's in the custody. He's been taken away from the military, taken out of the brig in South Carolina. But the damage has been done to this poor man.
Yeah, I wrote two letters tonight to Boxer and Feinstein, asking them to either justify this or kick the man out of office. Get Bush out or justify it to me, because I put in there I do not want to be a part of the fascist states of America.
Bush says he when he took his oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States. What a joke! What an absolute bile producing joke.
Yeah, I'm studying for a new career right now. I'm going through a series of cards for a test I have tomorrow. And, you know, sometimes I listen to this stuff and I wonder why I keep trying at this, because the whole thing's going to shit.
Well, you can't say.
Excuse me.
All right, let's.
So
let's,
it's, you know, I got to keep.
Okay, Jonathan, we had to end the phone call there because there are certain words we can't say on the air, but I'm sure you understand. I know it was a mistake. We'll talk again. Alex is calling from Scottsdale.
Oh, nice to hear you again, Mike.
Thank you, Alex. My pleasure.
Something simply put, and, you know, probably people don't want to hear this from, you know, the Middle East situation, but simply put, back in 632, Muhammad dies, two groups, Shias and Sunnis, argue about the successor. Now,
right.
1,374 years or 20,073 generations later, 501 and 839 days later, we are still fighting. Our president says we will stay in the fight. He's going to stay the course. Now, you understand, this has been going on for 1,144 years before our country ever existed. You know, so you talk about do the math.
Right, and Bush has unleashed this resurrection of this fight and then insisted that our military men and women stay in the middle of it.
It's just hypocrisy.
Oh, it is hypocrisy, but it's also it's poison, it's death, it is insanity on Bush's part, it is ignorance. You know, when was it we read, was it just a few months ago, that prior to this war, I think it still holds, Bush had no idea that there was a difference between Sunni and Shia in a more murderous way than the difference between Catholic and Protestant. He had no idea. He is the most ignorant bastard ever to occupy the Oval Office, bar none.
You know, and it says here in this letter, this was from Jim in Fountain Hills, and he wrote this into the letter, and there was another guy that wrote another letter that says that everybody should stay the course, and all Americans should give lives and let their children go in there, and he was, for Rangel, he was supporting it.
Well, I think at this point most of us understand, I think, I hope this is true, that Rangel was trying to make a point. Hey, listen, I've got to leave it there, Alex. I appreciate you checking in, and we will talk again.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Thanks for your participation tonight, however that manifested. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.